Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey, good morning, Every Nation, New Jersey. What's going on? And listen, PA here, and I know, as you can tell, I'm not with you this morning. And so my family and I, we're actually traveling down to North Carolina. We're taking our golden retriever, Marshall, down. Marshy's got cancer, and so we've taking him down to North Carolina. We're gonna get him some treatment down there where my daughter's a vet tech. And then we decided to make a little trip of it to spend some time with my youngest daughter. So, and for those of you viewing online, welcome. And as always, like I always say on the broadcast, hey, God has got a word for you. God's got a word for you today. And so let me start our time this way. Are there any hunters out there? You know, I know a few of you guys are, you're hunters. That's what you do. And man, you kill these poor defenseless animals, you know, with a weapon, for goodness sakes. And no, I'm not shooting any shade. It's not my deal, man. And, but you could say I'm a bit of a hunter because, I do bring home food for my family. I do the shopping in my house. And so I go to Costco and I don't kill anything, but I do bring home meat. Okay. And listen, I'm of the opinion Costco just might be more dangerous than wildlife hunting, okay? Have you ever been there and tried to do this? Like, man, you go there, man, if you don't get there before 9 a.m., bro, you are done, okay? And so parking lots of madhouse, you're having to traverse, man, around carts and individuals and people giving you the horn and the finger because, man, you're going to take their spot. And so it's just very highly dangerous. And by the time you do find a parking spot, it's a mile down the road. And so you need to be in premier peak cardiovascular shape just to get into the joint. And then I just think it's so funny that, listen, you don't need an ID to vote in the United States. And yet, man, isn't it funny, man, Costco, you ain't got that Costco card. Guess what? You ain't getting in that joint, you know? And so finally, man, I get into the place and so I get my card, I'm doing this thing. And then but there's just inevitably there's going to be, hey, gridlock, aisle 9. What in the world could be going on? Why is nobody moving, you know? And listen, you come to, you know, you rubberneck that thing and you find out, oh, I know why it's a log jam down there. Is because what do we have? We have free Hot Pocket samples that we're just losing our mind for, right? You see people like making 2 and 3 runs at that thing. And listen, if that's you at the sample place, eat at home, bro, okay? I'm trying to get in and out of this place, all right? And so, and then you finally get all your stuff, man. I'm like timing myself and I get there and then the checkout line's like 2 miles long. And so, listen, I'm gonna confess something. I'm not proud of this, okay? But as I'm waiting in line, I just can't help it. I am judging people for what they have in their carts, all right? I've repented of it and all that, but I just can't. Like, I'm like, girl, it's bathing suit season. You should not have all them Frito-Lays and a sleeve of Oreos in there, right? And so I just can't help it, okay? And so we can do better than that. And anyways, but... And here's the funny thing, you finally check out, you wind up spending like $200 more than you thought you were gonna. And then as you're going out, you finally are like, ah, done. No, you're not. Because the Gestapo is waiting for you before you exit the building and they need your receipt. And as God is my witness, like it's only about 100 yards to the end of the thing. And like, how did I lose my receipt? Like, what did I do with it? Okay. And so it's a very stressful moment for me going to Costco. But in all seriousness, have you ever heard the Costco story? Like its origin story? Do you know, actually, so there was a former attorney, his name was Saul Price, and this attorney, he's turned entrepreneur, and he was going to get into the retail sales, wholesale, to be more specific, and Saul Price, he had this deep conviction, it's the client first, profit second, clients first, profit second. And with that value running through the veins of his new wholesale retail place, it was called FedMart. It was unbelievably successful that the customer felt cared for and seen. It was so successful that there would be another entrepreneur years later that got into the wholesale retail business. His name was Sam Walton. He was so impressed with Saul's place, Fred Mart, he decided to call his company in light of his old company. And the name of it is Walmart. Okay. And so kind of cool backstory. Fedmart, it grew and grew. It was successful until finally, though, the board of directors, they wanted more profit. And so Saul Price was determined, no, it's the customer first, profit second. Okay. And so the board didn't like that. And so they locked Saul Price out of his own company, fired him, and he was out of a job for all of 2 weeks. And after 2 weeks, he started yet another company with another ex-employee from Fedmart. And that person's name was Jim Sinegal. And Jim Sinegal and Saul Price, they opened up a place. It was called Price Club. But then later on, Sinegal went off on his own and he started another warehouse company called, yes, Costco. But here's the cool thing, is Jim Sinegal, the founder of Costco, he held that same conviction and value. It's the client first, profit second. And it's exemplified in this. If you've ever been to Costco, you know that they're famous for the $1.50 for a hot dog and a beverage, right? And so I think we have an image of it going up, man. It's just world renowned. Did you know that they sell more hot dogs at Costco than they do all the baseball stadiums combined? Okay. And so, but get this, they started it in 1986, $1.50 for a hot dog and a soft drink. At that time in 1986, a Big Mac was 10 cents more expensive than that. It was $1.60 for a Big Mac. Fast forward to today, the hot dog and the soft drink at Costco is still $1.50. The Big Mac, on the other hand, it'll run you between $7 and $9. Okay. And so you're like, how did they do that? It was because, man, Joel Singel, he had this, man, core conviction, this idea that, man, it's the customers first and profits are second. And so, there came a point where the CEO is like, hey, we're losing way too much money on these hot dogs. We're bleeding money. Listen, we got to raise the prices. To which Sinegal, he said this, and he's infamous for this quote. He said, if you raise the price of those bleeping hot dogs, I'm going to kill you. And then he followed it up with this, figure it out. And you know what? They did. They wound up just, man, thinking think tank, and they wound up big in building, man, these entire factories dedicated to building, man, and producing Kirkland hot dogs and buns just so they could give to you a great value, $1.50 for a hot dog and a soft drink, right? And so here's the big idea and the takeaway from that story is this. If Costco will do all of that to get a reasonably priced hot dog to you, what won't they do for you? And so that's gonna bring us to our time today. Do you know it says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 32, it says this, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? And so like the big idea is this, man, if God gave his one and only precious son for you. If God came down from his throne in heaven and became a man for you, if Jesus went to the cross and died for you, what won't God do for you? What won't God do for you? And here's the crazy thing that's so troubling to me is to see, man, from the very beginning of time, Satan, the term Satan, it means accuser. From the beginning of time, Satan has perpetrated this lie that God is not a good and generous God, and that in fact, he's withholding from you. Adam and Eve are the first man and woman. Man, God was so kind, so good, so generous. He gave them everything there was, but one thing, just don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the Satan accused God of not being generous and good. And he said, man, surely God is holding out on you. He knows that if you eat of this forbidden fruit, you will be like him. And they took the lie and they wound up eating of the forbidden fruit. And we find ourselves in this mess that we're in today. And so, and here's the deal, man, the thing that breaks my heart, I think many of you, you have believed that lie, that perpetual lie, that God is not good and generous. He's not a good God who does good for you. You've believed that God is somehow holding out on you. If you were to fully give your life to Him, man, you can't really trust Him. And maybe that's not you. Maybe you don't fully believe that, but I will say this. You also don't fully believe that, man, that you can give your life 100% to God and you can trust Him with the results, right? See, many of us are stuck in the middle, right? Do I trust God and give Him all of my heart, mind, soul, and strength? Or do I live in the world? And some of us, most of us, dare I say, are just living in the messy middle. Here's what I want to tell you. Man, in-between people are the most miserable people on the planet. They just are. Man, you have too much God to enjoy your sin, and you have too much sin to enjoy God and glorify Him in the world. So take it from me. Hello, good morning. My name is Adam, and I'm a recovering in-between guy. I gave my heart to Jesus Christ at the age of 12, man. I was like, Jesus, you can have some of me, but I still want to go do this, this, and this, all right? And so at the age of 16, I actually moved away from home to Ontario, Canada to try and make it in professional hockey. And so when you move away from home at 16, how many know you can get in a lot of trouble? And I love God. And so I had this tug of war taking place in my heart and in my life. And so I'd find myself going out in promiscuity and drunkenness, get up the next day, I feel shame and guilt. God, I'll never do that again. But next weekend, it's the party's on again. And God, I promise I'll never do that again. And there's this back and forth. And I was in a miserable place. I couldn't enjoy my sin, and I didn't enjoy my walk with the Lord. I was in the messy middle, man, until finally, it was oddly enough at the NHL draft, and there I was, man, as I was sitting in Joe Louis Arena, and I had just been drafted to the Hartford Whalers, but I had this deep sense of just being a disappointment and a failure, and I decided, you know what, I'm really, really bad at being the Lord of my life, and you know what, I pushed all my chips in to Jesus, and I said, man, I'm done living in between. I'm done living in the middle. I'm going to go all in with God. And here's what I promise you, man, I've never made a better decision in all of my life as to bow my knee to Jesus. And here's going to be our big theme for today is that lordship leads to life. Lordship, it always leads to life. And so, theologically, there's this idea of Jesus. He's both Savior and Lord. Savior and Lord. And these two ideas, man, they're inextricably bound together, okay? It's like macaroni and cheese, peanut butter and jelly. It's like, man, they're two sides of the coin. There's heads and tails, and you can't separate the two of them. And in the same way, man, Savior and Lord, they are bound together, and you can't have one without the other. And so, I've shared this one for years. Let me go at it again. And so my brother-in-law, his name is John, and he lives way up in northern Canada, man. And he called me one off-season when I was still playing in the NHL, and he's like, hey, man, we're going to go on a man camp fishing trip. You want to come, bro? And I'm like, sure, I want to come. Actually, I didn't want to go. I'm not the kind of the outdoorsy guy. He's like, bro, it's going to be awesome, man. We're gonna drink beer. We're going to eat what we kill. We're going to grow man beer. It's going to be amazing, right? And so I didn't want to turn in my man card, so I had to say yes. And so I remember doing that. It was fun, man. We got to pee outside, and so that's always a blast. And so I probably shouldn't say that on Sunday morning, but okay, forgive me. But back to our story. My brother-in-law, he let me know, hey, there's just one thing you have to bring. You need to bring a 5-star sleeping bag. I'm like, no problem. Didn't even know what that was, that there was such a thing. And so I was scrambling to get all my stuff together. And so I didn't have a sleeping bag, but my oldest daughter, Cassie, did. It was her Beauty and the Beast sleeping bag. We still have it to this day. And so I took that Beauty and the Beast sleeping bag up there on our man camp trip. And so I just remember, man, the first night up there, it was so cold, I was asking Jesus to kill me. And that Beauty and the Beast, little cute Beauty and the Beast sleeping bag, it was wildly insufficient for what I needed, okay? But backstory, my brother-in-law, he knew I was a moron, and so he actually brought an extra five-star, but he wanted me to suffer a little bit, all right? And so, just like that sleeping bag was insufficient for what I needed, do you know what? There's a lot of you out there that you're just depending on Jesus that he can be your savior and not your Lord. And man, that savior thing is going to be wildly insufficient to get you to be where you need to be. Do you know what? In your New Testament, it uses the word for savior 24 times, but it calls Jesus Lord 616 times. And so is Jesus your savior? Yes, he is, but not without him being your Lord. Man, the savior without the Lord thing, it's not a thing, all right? And so here's what's crazy, that the lordship of Jesus Christ, Jesus being Lord of your life, is actually the mechanism that activates salvation for our life. And you look like you don't believe me this morning, all right? So let me read to you. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 says this. Paul says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So you confess what Jesus is Lord, and that's the mechanism, man, that triggers salvation in your heart. And so you can't have the Savior without the Lord. And just so I can bring some clarity around what lordship, what Lord means, it's the Greek word kurios. It means master, ruler, or leader. And so a little backdrop to our text in Romans 10, 9, that if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart, you will be saved. So this is taking place and written during the Roman Empire. And so Rome had this vast empire, and in order to consolidate and keep order in Rome, what they would do is, man, these other nations that they had conquered, they could keep their other deities, but they would have to worship the imperial cult. And so each individual, you could worship other gods, but you had to confess, Kaiser Kurios. It means Caesar is Lord. And to confess anyone else as Lord was to risk persecution and possibly even death. Now, do you feel the weight when Paul says in Romans 10, 9, that if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord? Like those, man, back in that time, then those are not empty words. By confessing Jesus is Lord and not Caesar, man, you're putting your very life in the hands of Jesus the Savior. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 21, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. And so, man, do you hear the words of Jesus? Jesus says to have the right vocabulary, Lord, Lord, and not having the right heart, it's going to be insufficient on the day of judgment. And so we read this up. Well, let me do this. I'll illustrate this way in light of, man, the World Cup of soccer taking place when we're filming this one. And come on, USA, I don't know, man, how we have done. I'm filming this before the big game. And But soccer story. This is back in April 2001, and man, the iconic football soccer team is Manchester United. And so Manchester United, they have like a cult following of people. And one of those people that are just huge fans of Manchester was a guy by the name of Karl Power. And Manchester United, they were in actually Munich, Germany, to play Bayern in the playoffs. And so prior to the game, man, the team's doing warm up, and Manchester United, they did what they always do. They took a knee and they posed for the starting 11 players. I think we have an image of it coming up right now. You can see there's not 11 players. There's actually 12. And I don't know if you can see, but the dude on the end, there should be another image coming up. And that guy underneath the arrow, his name is Carl Power. And he's not actually on the team, okay? And so yet he's posing in the team photo. And here's what's crazy, man. He snuck in Carl. He put on a uniform. He even had cleats, man. And so he had the costume. He looked the part, but get this, he wasn't on the team, okay? And I see so many Christians, man, you have the right vocabulary, you look the part, you go to church, man, but your heart is far from Jesus, that you have not bowed the knee of your heart and said, Jesus, you are Lord. And if you don't do that, you can have the right vocabulary, Lord, Lord. You can have, man, the right uniform or whatever. Go to church on Sunday, man. But if you have not bowed the knee to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, you will hear these words, depart from me, I never knew you. And so Luke chapter 6 in verse 46 says this. Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? And so here's what's crazy. Like, do you hear the kind of the confusion, if it's possible to be in the Son of God? Like, yeah, Jesus almost feels confused. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you're not doing what I say? And so, do you know, because it is confusing to have a defiant disciple. It's not a thing. It's actually an oxymoron. Did you know, I had to look this up, man. Thank God for ChatGPT. Oxymoron, if you break it down, the oxy, it means sharp, and moron, that's where we get moron or moronic. It means dull or dumb. And so it's saying like sharp dumb, okay, next to each other. And that's what an oxymoron is, where you put two totally opposite words and you put them together like jumbo shrimp or act naturally, right? It doesn't make sense, man. They contradict each other. And so does a disobedient disciple of Jesus Christ. It just doesn't make sense. And so when you call Jesus Lord, but he's not actually, it's confusing to God and it's confusing to the world, right? And so I don't know how you are. Like, I'm a big nickname guy. Like, I grew up in a locker room, you know, all the time. So everybody's just got a nickname, man. In fact, there's certain of my teammates where I'm like, what is his real name? You know, in fact, we got Hack is at church today, or Hack, you better be. And Hack, I remember, like, you know, I was just getting to know Hack, and I invited him to come to a New York Jets chapel with me. And so as we were driving in the car to the chapel service, it occurred to me, I'm like, hey, bro, I don't know your name. I'm assuming it's not Hack, and so I'm going to have to introduce you, and I need to know what your real name is. And he's like, oh, it's Paul, you know, and so we just kind of giggled at that, but I'm a big nickname guy. And so I have nicknames for my daughters. So Cassie, my oldest, is Bear. She's Cassie Bear. My youngest, Lizzie, she is Lizzie Lou from Lizzie Lou Who, right? And then my wife, Susan. Now listen, there is the universal nickname we have for our spouse, Babe. Right? I can't lay claim to that one, all right? But she's Babe quite a bit. But I do have the copyright, and I call my wife Beauty. Beauty. You know why? Because that's who she is to me. She's my beauty. And here's what is interesting, though. If you were to call my wife Beauty, we're going to have a problem, okay? Because that's not who she is to you. That's my beauty, and you stay away from her, okay? And so, and that is Jesus' big idea. He says, hey, why are you calling me Lord, Lord, when that's not who I am to you? He says, man, don't call me Lord. Don't put those words in your mouth about me if I'm not actually the Lord of your life. And so, man, I just, in all seriousness, is Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? You got to answer that question. You got to answer that question. I want to encourage you, man. Lordship leads to life. Lordship, it always leads to life. Man, that is the story throughout the Bible. If you're paying attention to it, like Moses in your Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy means second law. And so what happens is Moses, he goes through all the law again. And at the end of it, he sums it all up with this statement in Deuteronomy 30, starting in verse 19. He says this, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him. For he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to them. And so you see plain and clear that Moses is like, hey, obey God, come under the lordship of God, because lordship leads to life, abundant life. Jesus is going to sum that all up in John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus says this, he says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. That there's a thief out there that wants to lie about God and steal from you. And then there's the Lord. And as we bow the knee to him, he says, I've come to give you life and life abundant. Let me close our time this way. You've heard me talk about this guy before. His name is Todd Pierce. He's a genuine man, horse whisperer, and he's a big Jesus guy. And so he started a nonprofit ministry. It's called Riding High Ministries. And in fact, he'll come to local churches, and there they create an actual ring in the place with dirt and everything where they can train a horse, and then they get a wild horse and they'll bring them in to the ring, and then this guy Todd Pierce will actually train the horse to the point where he can ride him. And so he always makes this clear distinction that a horse in the wild, here's what happens: it spends its life fighting for life against enemies, foraging and hoping to find food in water. Man, sickness and disease runs rampant, okay? It's a very, very difficult life. But for a horse that will humble itself and allow it to be trained by another, do you know it lives like twice as long as a horse in the wild, that they're healthier, happier, and get this, man, one horse that is submitted to a rider, they can guide and lead and corral a whole group of other wild horses, right? And so I can't help but think that's a picture of us. I'm going to show you this brief clip of Todd Pearson. Man, he almost gets kicked in the face by this horse because this horse is just so terrified to submit to another. And man, I just think that's a picture of who many of us are here today. Check it out.
We could call it respect, but I wouldn't go that far. So there's no more warnings. Leo, so it would kill me if he landed that punch. So it's fun simply because I know a little bit about what I'm doing, but it's not funny to him because he thinks that he's fighting for his life because he's been able to get away with what it is that he's done up until now. He's actually been rewarded for it, and he's found that he can have his way. But his way is not going to work, because in this condition that he's in, at best, he'll spend the next 30 years walking around trying to figure out how to just get enough food and sex to be happy. Maybe not even that. And so with that level of disrespect, and really, I just want to be left alone so that I can do things that I want to do. He's not a gorgeous horse, by the way. And I know the owner's here, so I need to be careful. I'm super, super grateful that they trusted me with him. But he's pretty proud of himself. But his potential, what it is that he's capable of, is something that he can't even begin to imagine. And the saddest thing for me would be that he would go through his entire life not understanding this one amazing truth, that if he will come to me, that he can be something that he can't even dream of. And that this that he's receiving right now, after he tried to kick me in the face, is so counterintuitive to him that it becomes a mystery that he'll spend the rest of his life trying to understand who is this man and why is it that I want to be near him.
Man, wasn't that powerful? And as I watched that video, I feel like it's so many of you out there that you're just so scared, man, to bow the knee and just to trust, man, that the Lord is good and he does good. And so you've been trying to be your own Lord and Savior and you're exhausted and tired. And man, this is the morning that God's word to you is this: come to me, all you that are burdened and heavy laden, and I'm gonna give you rest. And so, this is your moment today to bow your knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know there's another group of you out there. I've been there, done that. Is that you're living your life in between. Oh, you really love the Lord, but yet there's all these other things that are vying for your affections. And I want to tell you, man, living in the middle is the most miserable place to be. And I want to encourage you to go all in with Jesus, man, because lordship leads to life. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for this time and for the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of who you are. And Lord, God, I want to pray, Lord, for men and women today, Lord, that this would be the day, Lord, that they would bow their knee to you and say, and just confess, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. Not just Lord of Sunday, not just Lord of certain moments of my life, but you are Lord from beginning to end. And now, Father, I pray for those, Lord, that authentically pray that prayer today, Lord, that you would give them the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit to say yes to you and no to sin and the things of this world. We thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Listen, I just want to take a brief moment to say thank you to those of you that are partnering with us in your tithe and offerings. Do you know a tithe that simply means a tenth? That we believe that the first tenth of everything that comes in, we give back to the Lord as a form of worship and lordship over our finances. And so, you know that there's three ways you can give. You can go to our website, encnj.org, and just hit the giving icon. Or you can give via text. If you just text the letters ENCNJ to the number 77977, it's a very convenient way to give. It's how my family and I give. Or you can go old school and mail in your check or money order right here to our church offices at 101 Gibraltar Drive, right here in Morris Plains, New Jersey. And may God richly and abundantly bless you as you're faithful in your tithing and your giving. Every nation, Jesus loves you, and I think you're incredible too. Have a great week.
The Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, encnj.org.